Amen. You know, we live in a world that tends to encircle us with limits. You know, there are speed limits, there are weight limits, there are time limits, all kinds of limits if you think about it. And all those limits tend to box us in and structure us and organize us in such a way as to create within us an attitude of limits. In other words, I can do only so much, no more. A mindset that tends to restrict rather than to open. In some ways, we all have bought into this attitude, and it creates a lot of stress, really. But it also generates within us a philosophy of mediocrity, doubt, and defeat. Middle of the road, you know, nothing too big, nothing too small, no risk, no use. Do it the same way we did it last year. Didn't work then. Maybe it'll work this year. Okay? As again, I said a couple of Sundays ago, a little phrase keeps popping in my brain that Joyce Meyer uses all the time. She calls it stinking thinking. You might want to adopt that when you're thinking this way. And we all do. This kind of an attitude offers a sense of safety. It does offer us a sense of security. It's a safe place to be where we've always been. But it robs us. It steals from us the abundant life that Jesus promised we should have. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 23:7, in the King James Version, as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. As a man thinks in his heart. If you think in a small, fearful way, then your life's going to revolve around small and fearful terms. If you think in grand terms, then your life will revolve in grand terms. I amaze myself at how often I limit God. Think about yourself. You know, I have to work at thinking up sometimes. You kind of get depressed. You kind of get down. You kind of get saying, is this thing ever going to work? Is anything ever going to happen? But when it comes to God, this Bible is literally filled with promises. Not little ones. Find me a little one in here. This guy is hyperbole on steroids. God is a big God, and he promises big things. Eternal life. How big is that? Forgiveness of our sins. Healing of our bodies. Deliverance. We don't think about that too often. Maybe we should. Provision for our every need. How much has God blessed you? How much has he blessed us? How much has he blessed this church? Think about it. And Jesus calls for you and me to go into all the world. All the world, not some of the world, all of the world, and make disciples. Now that's a big one. He calls for you and me to love one another as Christ has loved us. A tall order, is it not? He calls us to believe that with him, nothing is impossible. Nothing. He calls for you and me to dream dreams and to see visions. You remember the promise of Joel on the Sunday of Pentecost? We'll talk about that next week. Dream dreams. See visions of what God wants to do with and through us. He calls for you and me to shine like lights in our world. You know, that light, that lantern that's not placed in a basket and buried under the table, but set on top of the table for all the world to see. You know, light does make a difference in darkness. We have a big God, you and I. We have a big God. And He wants us to see our life and our world and our church from His perspective. The Apostle John sets the standard for that vision in our text this morning. When he says, to all who did receive him, who believed in his name. That's addressed to every Christian. That's addressed to every Christian. John is addressing this verse to those who, in a real sense, already know Jesus. Already know about him. Already heard about him. He gave the right to become children of God. You need to listen to this passage carefully. The word literally means he gives the power. He gives the authority. He gives the ability, the strength to become a child of God, to become children of God. Should I maybe also add the responsibility to become children of God? It isn't forced. We're not coerced. It isn't something that just happens automatically. It isn't something that just arrives one day. It's offered. It isn't another regulation. It is another rule. It's offered. It is a gift. And you and I can live in it gloriously, or we can leave it on the table. We can take hold of the abundant life that is given to us by God, that we did receive, or we can ignore it and live like the rest of the world lives. Live in the poverty of faithlessness. You see, this passage is reaching beyond our initial salvation. Way beyond. It's reaching where most of us live. Look at what it says. To all who, in the ESV, it puts it, did receive. In the NIV, it says who received. You know, past tense. ESV just emphasizes it by putting the did in there. You've already received. To all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children of God. Have received him. Have. And believed in his name. Can become children of God. The words are specific. Think about it. A child of God, it literally means a descendant of God. An heir of God. Wow. I mean, how much does God have? How much would you inherit, huh? What a blessing is that? And the focus is on the blessing of living in Christ. It's not on the blessing of eternity. That's there. That's going to happen. Salvation is already here. He's talking to people already who have received him, but are not living in the abundance of life that he gives and that he desires and that he wants. In other words, if you did receive and believed, it's possible to know the blessing. You can become, in other words. You have the right to become. A child of God is not a physically born creature. As we think of the term, a baby. A child of God is more a way of life. An empowerment, if you would. A way of living in this world with all of its problems and tragedy, though in God's power and God's love and God's care and God's grace, living in a way that overcomes. A child of God is a relationship with the Creator, with the Father, made possible through Jesus, His Son, our Savior, revealed to us by His Holy Spirit. Paul said in Romans 8:15, when we cry, Abba, Father, it is the Spirit Himself bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Receiving, it's the taking into ourselves. It's the accepting the truth as truth, the claims of God. But receiving is not the end. To all who receive, that's just the beginning. That's just the beginning. You know, I worry about too many Christians standing in the door. You've walked in the door, but you're standing there and you're keeping others from getting in the door. You're blocking the way. You've received, but you've not moved on into the kingdom. Simply receiving isn't enough. There's a lot of people who've received Jesus, but don't have the power of God overflowing in their life. What's missing? What's missing? Well, John says, we need not only to receive, but we also need to believe in His name. To believe that Jesus is God, the great I Am. That they are one. They are one. To trust, to rely, depend on Him. You know, you take Jesus from our head and let Him take root in our heart, in our hands, in our feet. What we believe in, we act on, right? What we believe in, we act on. Belief produces fruit in our life. It produces action, both good and bad. If we believe that this building's about to fall in on us, then we're going to be heading for the door, right? I hope. But we don't believe that, so we're here. We feel secure. We act on our belief. If we believe that Jesus has called us to go into the world, to be His light, to be His witness, it will change what we're going to do this afternoon maybe a little bit, huh? What we might say to that person that we may maybe first meet, or to that family member, or to that best friend. If we believe that Jesus is God, it changes the way we look at what He taught and what He said. We begin to trust His promises as real. We start to act on them. We start to realize the awe of His grace and love. And we want others to know the truth about Him too. If we believe. To all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, those are the ones He gave the power to become children of God. You know, receiving and believing allows us to realize the possibilities of our heritage as God's children. But the power, the right, the authority, the strength is a gift from Jesus. He's the one that makes it possible. That's a unique thing about this Christian life. Most every religion would call you to be a better person. You have to get down there and pull up your bootstraps and make a better effort. Get with it. But Christianity comes along and says, get with it, but I'll make it possible. That the only one who really can make it possible will make it possible. God. He's going to make it possible. What did Jesus say? I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. What a gift God has given us. What a challenge He's laid before us. Why should we ever find ourselves trying to live in the middle of the road? Why should we ever settle for mediocrity? Why should we ever be a victim rather than the victor? Why aren't all the parts and pieces of our lives bearing the fruit of God's joy and peace and love and hope? Why aren't we enjoying His refreshing presence every moment of every day? Think about it. Why? Could it just be that too often we've bought into the lie of limits? That we tell ourselves that God doesn't love us, or He doesn't love us that much. Or that this is just the way life is. You got to trudge through it to get to the other end, and hopefully you'll go to heaven. Or a better place, or whatever. Those aren't resting on promises, are they? Oh, no. We hold God off. We limit the abundance of His blessing in our life. Jesus doesn't close us with restrictions or limits. He frees us with His awesome power. Isn't His desire that we hide in the corners and defeat at every turn? It isn't His desire that we just surrender ourselves to the culture or to the times. I read an article the other day about how the churches in the United States are dying. Just heard about one this morning, merging up and disappearing. What's that about? Except limits. Is God dead? Made a movie about that, didn't he? But is He? Is He? Maybe you ought to go see the movie if you think He is. It at least tells you He isn't. God isn't dead. But we've made Him dead. We tell ourselves, oh, we can't have children in the church anymore because there are no more young people wanting to go to church anymore. And that's crazy. That's crazy. And if they're not wanting to go to church anymore, why? Why? We tell ourselves we have to then rebuild everything in accordance with the whims and the desires and the style of the culture. And that way people will want to come. Well, what does the culture want to do? Culture doesn't want to change us. Not in that way. Not in God's way. Culture wants to entertain us. Culture is temporary. God is eternal. We've got to think in those terms. We've got to think in those terms. It isn't God's desire that we shrink. It's God's desire that we grow. Numbers aren't the important part. Grow in spirit. Grow in joy. Grow in the abundance of life that He has for us. To be able to stand as a testimony, as a witness, as an example, if you would, to the world around us of what a new life in Jesus really looks like. Realize who we are and why we're here and what we are to do. You know, I believe each of us came here this morning looking for something. Most likely it wasn't to hear me. Didn't hear an amen on that, but I'll go forward. You came somehow to this place to touch God. Well, God's here. God is here. And He's telling us that we are His. And He's offering us the power, the right, the privilege of becoming His child, of realizing the fullness of our heritage. He's given us a choice over the defeats of this world and His victory. And His peace, and His joy, to be His children. Which journey would you rather be on? Can you embrace Him? Not just receive Him. Not just cross the doorway or stand in the doorway, as I said. But will you believe in His name? Will you dream His dreams, not yours? Will you see His visions and your life for His church, this church? Will you hope in His promises? And will you focus on His call to bear witness, to be His light to a very dark, dark world, to live as best you can and as much as you can in His power? Will you respond to His grace and become a child of God? Hear what this little verse in John's Gospel is saying. I bet you've read it many times. Certainly, it is inviting us to receive and believe Jesus as our Lord and Savior. But so many of us has already done that. We've received. But it's challenging us. Very much challenging us to live in the promise of our heritage. We've been given that right, that privilege, as John says, of becoming something. Called to have the limitless power of God in our life and in our witness. And the full blessing of that becoming requires a response. To all who received Him, who believed on His name, He gave the right to become a child of God. Let it be. Let it be for you, for me. Let it be for our church. Let it be. Let's pray together.